The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Final hour, and we'll spend some time in Dallas later on getting you ready for the women's semifinals beginning at the top of the next hour. More of your phone calls right now at 855-242-7285. Let's check in with Snake, who is up next. Hello, Snake.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
Well, you're doing great. Thank you.
Listen, I got three things to tell you. One, first of all, I know how Nick Saban's team can win them a national championship next year.
Okay, how?
They need to transfer to Georgia. And another thing, Larry, you know, I know y'all not able to pay him or anything, but I bet you could work out a deal with Budweiser, an NIL, and I bet you he'd work for Bud Light. What do you think?
I think I think we figured it out. I'm sure somebody at Bud is watching right now, and we can supply. The problem is, most people, a couple of beers would probably do it, but Larry, somewhere between 18 and 23 beers a day, that might be expensive even for Anheuser-Busch. Thank you for the call. Gunny is in Georgia. You're on the air. Hello, Gunny.
How you doing, Paul?
We are doing great.
I got this prediction for Alabama this year. I'm not a Alabama fan. My wife's a Georgia fan, and I'm an Auburn fan. But she has Alabama losing four games this year.
Four games? That's more than anyone. Yeah,
if you notice, the teams around the West have been gearing up to beat Alabama. Bobby Torino up at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
He's going to be their offensive coordinator. Golan went to Ole Miss, and he's scrimmaged against Alabama's offense for two or three years. And Auburn and Freeze beat them back-to-back. He's down there, so he's losing that game. And Tennessee is going to go down to Alabama and beat them down there. So I got Alabama losing.
That's quite a prediction. I don't agree with any of that. Dale is up next in Colorado. Hello, Dale.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Dale, we're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, so I just got a quick comment, Paul. I was just thinking, you know, I think Georgia has a better chance of repeating again this year than Alabama winning the West. That's just all I'm saying. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. Ricky is up next. Ricky calling from Mississippi. Hello, Ricky.
Hey Paul. I want to know if Dwayne is he like they say back in the top 40 shows? Is he coming up with a bullet?
Man, have you ever seen anyone rocket to the top like him?
Yeah, he is something else, man. He's a trip, boy. You got another one on your hands now. Hey, you gonna? I like to him and Legend the team up, to pit them off to each other like that, man. That'd be something else.
Yeah, he's. I don't think he had ever called him a few weeks ago. He said he did, but I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Man, he's just. Yeah, I mean, you know, guys like that down there.
I know plenty of them like that, man. Yeah. Plenty of them, but. But you know what, Paul? I'm really appreciative of being a Mississippi State fan. Cause you never heard too many Mississippi State fans. Maybe one or two knuckleheads, but you know we just don't get we don't have these crazy predictions though about our team. You know we try to be realistic about losing Alabama losing four games. Okay. But anyway, now I do agree with you on one thing, Paul. Texas A&M, I think they're going to be – I think they will, because that quarterback they got is pretty good. I saw last year, and the players they have, they were young. They were freshmen, so he played a lot of freshmen on that team. So So I think,
well, you,
I
you
think
saw,
they're going to be better.
I mean,
the
they nearly beat Alabama. They did beat LSU. They were in. Yeah. They shouldn't have lost to Appalachian State.
Right.
They were. I'm trying to remember. I mean, some of their games, they were just out of sorts. But I think that came from. I'm not making excuses for Jimbo Fisher, please. But
yeah, I
think
know.
I think so. I think he got in his own way too often. They couldn't create much offense, and ultimately he had way too much. I also think another thing, they shouldn't have beaten Arkansas, but they did. I think they had internal issues in that locker room that he couldn't figure out.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, they went over their skis. They just expected too much.
Yeah,
just because you got a bunch of 5-star players, I mean. They still young.
But Ricky, let me ask you a question. Who is talking about that now? I mean, who's talking about the fact that we had the number, we being them, had the number one recruiting class?
You're talking about that team with the A in the front?
Yeah, the one not too far from your school.
Yeah, about 90 miles west
of us. They're saying the exact same thing that A&M was saying last year.
Exactly.
And talent matters. They do have they have unique talent, but that's not a big surprise. They always
right.
have that.
I mean, they had unique talent. What's that guy, Stephen Smith? You remember last year when he was talking about the big 6'8" guy that they had?
Yeah.
Moves like a gazelle and.
Ricky, I've got a few buddies of mine that go to practice, and they're on the inner circle, and they were telling me last August, they said, this is the best Alabama team Saban's had.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, but now Kirby, you know, the Georgia fans, they crawling the same way, you know, they doing the same thing.
Now, the problem for Georgia, though, is, I mean, they are – this is a little bit of a transition, but I know every time I talk about Stetson Bennett, I upset a certain populace, but I don't think that's a big deal. I think they've got quarterbacks on that roster.
Right, they do, but they're unproven though.
But they've been around though, is my point.
Yeah, that's true. And they have, they got Brock Bowers, okay?
Yeah, they sure did.
But you know, there's no different from Stephen A. from Mike Griffin, I guess.
I tell you what, you just gave me the newest show on the SEC Network.
What's that?
Stephen M. Smith and Mike Griffith together. Nobody else.
Wow.
You remember when you grew up watching wrestling, they had like the Texas Tornado match where you put like 15 guys in the ring and they started getting tossed out.
I remember that. Yeah.
Those guys.
Yeah, that will be a battle royal, wasn't it?
Yeah, the battle royal. I mean, that would be unbelievable. Hey, Ricky, thanks so much. What a call. Great call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Jeff in Missouri. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Jeff, we're doing great.
That's Stephen M. Smith. Is there any relation to that quack from ESPN, Stephen A. Smith?
You know, I just thought about that. I'm putting him with the wrong person. Stephen M. Smith versus Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, there's the overrated quack from ESPN.
Well,
I will not
debate Stephen A. Smith's talent, but because I think he has enormous. But I still think Stephen M. versus Stephen A. would be pretty entertaining.
Yeah, but Paul, the only thing I kind of disagree is Stetson Bennett, though, is better than a 7th-round pick. Do you think that issue that he had, you know, where he got in a little trouble down there, you think that really has pushed him back that far, honestly? Because
because Jalen Carter has had far more issues than Stetson Bennett, and he's still projected to go high in the first round. He also has a lot more talent than Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
I think the problem with Stetson Bennett is you're taking him away from the infrastructure, and we have somebody next week. We'll examine that. I don't know. I mean, I would have him much higher. I wouldn't have him in the first round. I think Hendon Hooker deserves to be in the first round, but I don't think Stetson Bennett does. Thank you for the call. We do appreciate it. Gamecock Brian is up next.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
I assume you're ready for the game tonight.
Well, yes, sir. I just want to tell you, first of all, how much I appreciate your show and the diversity that you share.
Thank you.
I heard the earlier caller say that all you talk about is Alabama, and that's just nonsense. I've listened to your show for years, and you're fair with every team. So, I mean, he's an idiot. But anyway, the game tonight is going to be a good one because you got South Carolina and Iowa, and you got two of the best scorers in Aaliyah Boston and Caitlin. I can't remember her last name, but
Caitlin Clark.
Girl from Iowa. She's really good.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark is the most electric offensive performer that women's college basketball has seen in a long time.
Yes, sir. And I think she's going to get her points, but I think ultimately in the end, South Carolina's depth is going to end up beating Iowa by being able to last longer.
Well, Iowa has more players, but South Carolina has just two. I mean, I'm not an expert, but the experts that we talked to, and we're about to talk to two more, would grant you that the depth is considerable on the other side.
And whenever you're in South Carolina again, I'm going to invite you down to tailgate with us, man, and just have a good old time because I think Gamecock football is going to be on the rise. And the baseball team doing phenomenal,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's
a great time,
right,
to be a Gamecock.
The baseball team has been absolutely money this spring. Hey, thank you very much. Can't wait. We've been to South Carolina a lot on our Friday shows, and we hope to get there this year as well. We head to a break. We are going to Dallas in a moment. We look forward to giving you a preview of several big games tonight with Alyssa and Steph.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we are back, and the buildup continues for the two games in Dallas. The first game under 45 minutes away. Let's head out there. Alyssa and Steffi have all the coverage and a preview of both games. Ladies, I know it's loud. Thanks so much for making time for us. Good late afternoon, early evening.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having us. We're so excited to be here in Dallas, site of the Final Four. The SEC making up half the field here with LSU and South Carolina both punching their tickets. We'll see the Tigers first, but let's talk about South Carolina. They have the night session against Iowa. This is one that if you're a basketball fan, you don't want to miss this. Everyone's billing it as Aaliyah Boston versus Caitlin Clark. Is that the matchup to watch tonight?
Well, here's the thing is that we can't undersell that this is an Iowa team that leads the country in their offense. Obviously, we can talk about Caitlin Clark, player of the year, right? Aaliyah Boston for South Carolina, she is a post player. So it's not necessarily it's post player versus guard in this game. I want to talk about Iowa's offense. I think that they're going to be facing against a South Carolina defense that they've never seen before, right? We're talking about a South Carolina defense, best I've ever seen in my entire life. Iowa, though, they got Caitlin Clark. If she gets loose and scores 30, I think South Carolina can kind of limit her, make her uncomfortable. It's the role players surrounding her. McKenna Warnock, Monica Cezano, Gabby Marshall. If those players are hitting 2 to 3 threes length, South Carolina cannot afford to just lose sight of those role players. They make Iowa go.
You talk about Caitlin Clark being legendary. She just posted the first triple-double in NCAA tournament history here on this stage. We were talking before we came on here about what approach defensively South Carolina takes. Do you feel out the game a little bit, knowing that you really haven't faced anybody like Caitlin Clark, maybe in the country, certainly not in the SEC? What kind of defensive approach are you taking if you're Dawn Staley?
Get us up close and personal to Caitlin Clark as you can. You don't want to let her hit that first. I think this arena will go crazy. And then the whole team feeds off of Caitlin Clark. I mean, this is one of the best players that we've ever seen. So I think, you know, you're going to start with Bree Beal guarding her. Bree Beal, one of the best perimeter defenders in the country. Get a feel for her and then switch off. I think that's where South Carolina has the edge, where they've got bodies. They've got depth that, you know, you can never let Caitlin Clark get comfortable. That's where teams maybe have let her get loose, because they don't have enough bodies to rotate on her. South Carolina does that.
South Carolina is one of those teams, and we've talked about it all season long, they wear you down. They really make their bread in the second half of these games, where they pull away and they beat teams by double digits here in this tournament. Knowing that South Carolina's second five is so talented, Iowa's a very talented team. Do they have the depth to keep up with the Gamecocks?
You know, that's the big question is, can the second wave of Iowa players score like the first five? If there's foul trouble, we saw Maryland get into foul trouble against South Carolina just because of the discipline defensively, and then just trying to score. You know, there's charges, and then defending South Carolina. We haven't even really talked about the offense.
Right.
Aaliyah Boston, Zaya Cook, how dominant that they have been this year. We'll see, because if that starting five for Iowa can stay on the floor, I think that they can keep, obviously, be competitive with South Carolina. It's foul trouble and the depth that I've got questions on.
You would think there's a lot of pressure on the South Carolina team, right? The word dynasty is getting thrown around right now. If they go back-to-back, does that complete the dynasty conversation? But when we were at shoot-around yesterday, this team felt loose. They felt excited. Dawn Staley talked about wanting some of the young players to get the jitters out. But did you see many jitters from that roster?
No, I mean, listen, that's, you know, when you have veterans like Dawn Staley has, where you have Aaliyah Boston, Zaya Cook, and Bree Beal, Leticia Meher, they've been in this moment. They've won. And, you know, you let the younger players just kind of get a taste of it. You know, Dawn was joking with us. She was dancing. I think that you just got to be in the moment. Keep your feet where they are. Dawn's really big on keep the main thing, and that is winning a national championship. And I think when you have Aaliyah Boston, who's so centered and so grounded.
Aaliyah Boston all season long has kept the main thing, right? She was even asked here during her media session yesterday about maybe her numbers being a little bit lower than they have been in years past. And she's going, hey, we're undefeated at this point. 42 straight victories. I think I'm okay with that. What is it that makes Aaliyah Boston a player that deserves all the credit that she does in this sport?
Well, Link, she's so unselfish. And I think that this is a player that doesn't care about the awards. She wants her team to win. She wants to continuously go out on a high note. She wants to make her teammates better. She wants to lead. She wants to be a good example. We saw her taking pictures with fans for Iowa.
Every school that's represented
Iowa.
Here.
That was probably one of the coolest things that I saw yesterday.
You talk about the unselfishness, and we see that from this team top to bottom, not just Aaliyah Boston. Bree Beal's another one of those players who made it to the starting lineup early in her career because of how steady her defensive play was, and now she's become a bit of a lights-out shooter. We got to give her some credit for her offense right now.
Yeah, her offense has been really big for South Carolina. Why? Because a lot of teams will sit in the paint because they don't want to let Aaliyah Boston get going offensively. So I think Bree Beal hitting shots is going to be key against Iowa. He's going to sit back in the zone, try to force South Carolina, make some shots, and make life hard for Aaliyah Boston. That's what everyone wants to do, right? That's where South Carolina scores all of their points. But Zaya Cook and Bree Beal have been so electric in the NCAA tournament that it's going to be tough for Iowa. Pick your poison.
When you look at South Carolina's bigs, Camilla Cardoso,
the Twin Towers,
Leticia Meher, it feels like it's been a block party all season long. How does that match up with a team like Iowa that just wants to shoot the three ball really all night?
Well, the challenge will be for South Carolina is their bigs having to guard along the perimeter, because one of those bigs is going to have to guard a three-point shooter, which frees up some space space for an Iowa team that wants to shoot the three but also get to the rim. So staying disciplined and making sure you're not fouling when you're going out to the three-point line as a post player where you're not necessarily used to guarding and you're not as effective at blocking shots when you're on the perimeter.
Is this going to be a night full of double and triple teams, whether it's Caitlin Clark, Aaliyah's had like five on her at some points during the season, it feels like, at this point.
Honestly, this game is we've got so many stars in this game. I mean, we're watching the future WNBA out here tonight.
It's pretty amazing. It's some of the talent that is on display, not only throughout this tournament, but here at the Final Four. We'll get into LSU's matchup with Virginia Tech coming up a little bit later here on the show. South Carolina in the night matchup against the Iowa Hawkeyes. We've got two incredible games kicking off the Final Four here from Dallas, Texas, and of course, a spot in the national championship on the line. And Paul, the way this bracket is set up, we could be staring down an all-SEC title game on Sunday. That'd be pretty fun, wouldn't it?
It would be amazing. We had one a couple of years ago when South Carolina won its first title. We'll head back out and get a preview of the game that is coming up here in just a few minutes when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. And LSU and Virginia Tech begin at the top of the hour. And let's head back out to Alyssa and Steffi to get a preview of that game. Alyssa?
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, back here inside American Airlines Center in
Dallas.
Starting
to fill up in here.
It's starting to fill up. It's starting to get loud. A lot of LSU fans coming out early. Of course, the Tigers have the first matchup of the day here against the one seed Virginia Tech Hokies. When you scout this Virginia Tech team, Georgia Amor is a name that we are going to hear a lot tonight. What does LSU have on the scouting report when it comes to Amor?
Well, I think Georgia Amor is one of the most underrated players in this tournament. I mean, she's second in scoring and from the three-point line to Caitlin Clark. And it's not just the three ball. I mean, she can get to the rim. I think she's one of the toughest players, too, in this tournament. And so I think LSU has got to do a really good job of just knowing where she is because, like Clark, she's not just going to shoot the three. She's going to try to get to the mid-range. She's going to try and get to the rim. This offense, it's hard not to look at Liz Kittley, 6'6", ACC Conference Player of the Year. But this team really starts and goes with Georgia Amor.
LSU's calling card throughout this entire tournament has been its defense. They've held opponents to under 50 points per game in all four of their tournament games so far. What have you seen from the way that they've been so stifling that could work tonight?
Yeah, well, I think, one, their athleticism can really get it done, and their physicality. LaDeja Williams is going to be key. She's going to be guarding Liz Kittley at some time. Angel Reese, who's got to stay out of foul trouble. Those two can really give Liz Kittley some nightmares just because of their length, their speed, their physical. The SEC is such a tough league, and I think the ACC was really competitive. But they haven't seen LSU's speed and physicality yet.
I was going to say, has LSU seen a team like Virginia Tech and their ability to shoot the three ball from deep? I mean, how do you compare them to maybe other teams LSU's faced this year?
I think the closest team length would be Utah. Utah had pretty much five shooters on the floor. Virginia Tech has four. And, you know, that was a great game. That was a really big win for Kim Mulkey's ball club to close out. So I think it's going to take toughness, and I think it's going to be their defense. What makes this matchup so compelling, and I was telling you this earlier, LSU and Virginia Tech, top 25 in scoring and defense. Very balanced. Both defend, both can score. I think it's the stars. For me, Alexis Morris. This team, when she hits those first two shots, Len, you and I know this when we watch Morris, she scores, they look completely different. The first 5 minutes of this game are going to be really important for LSU.
Alexis Morris has really done her part, too, in hyping this team up. Their last regular season game at home this year, she said, hey, I want my senior day to be in Dallas. I don't want it to be right here, right now. Yesterday, she corrected that. She said, you know what? I don't want it to just be in Dallas. I want it to be on Sunday in the national championship game. You mentioned Angel Reese. You said at some point she's probably going to say, Mulkey, put me on Kittley. Let me defend. She's the double-double queen for a reason. What do you expect to see from her tonight?
Man, stars. I mean, I think this, we're going to have stars in this game, and the Bayou Barbie is on the biggest stage. And I think that this team really relies on her confidence. She sets the tone for them because she's everywhere. And I think it was so unlike her to go 0-for-9 against Utah. So just being more efficient from the floor, making her free throws, blocking shots. I mean, it's really Alexis Morris and Angel Reese and the confidence, the bravado, right? This stage, Kim Mulkey, all three of them, I think that confidence got to translate over to the court. And I'm just expecting a really good, well-matched team matchup.
Coach Kim did tell us that she's got a special outfit planned for tonight and, of course, Sunday being back here in Texas, talking about bringing the confidence, bringing the swagger. I want to go back to Alexis Morris for a second. She hasn't had a ton of success from the three-point line so far this tournament. It feels like she might be due.
I think she's due. You know, honestly, and especially against Virginia Tech, a team that shoots the three ball really well. It's not like I think that LSU has got to hit 6 or 7 threes, right? I think it's the timeliness. You come out, Alexis Morris hits maybe one in the first quarter, kind of, and then Virginia Tech, they've got to adjust. And then all of a sudden that opens up the holes for Angel Reese to go to work, LaDeja Williams. And then what can we expect to see from the freshman, Flaje Johnson? As a freshman gets to the Final Four, she's used to the big stage. How will she perform on this stage tonight?
Speaking of the big stage, Kim Mulkey has been here before as well. And guys, it cannot be stated enough. She has this LSU Tigers program here in the Final Four in year 2 in Baton Rouge. It's pretty unbelievable. She's looking to also become the first head coach in the history of this tournament to win 2 different national championships at 2 different programs. We'll see if they can get the win tonight. Virginia Tech going to be a challenge. That one tipping off from inside American Airlines Center here very soon. We will have you covered on both of these games coming up tonight on SEC Now. But for now, Paul, we'll send it back to you.
Thank you very much, and we cannot wait. Top of the hour, the first game begins. What an entertaining night. Thank you, ladies. We are going to continue here, get some phone calls in, and get to your calls. We've had a very busy, busy show, so let's check out AJ in Pell City, Alabama. Hello, AJ.
Top of the morning to you, Paul.
Yes, sir.
Let's do a B&W for the week. How about it? We got to end the week right. Blessed you without calling you all week. I've been in my March sadness, drying up my tears. But, hey, best of the week is na-na-na-na, Jim, goodbye. See you later, Jim. Cat Daddy done scratched the eyes out. Hung out the carcass. It is breaking news. The horsefly from the Fine Bomb studio has been sighted swarming around Jim's carcass where Cat Daddy hung him out to dry. But I will talk about that. I'd love to talk about that obsolete eight you got. You cherry pick obsolete eight you got going on, Paul. One thing about it, though, is whoever goes up against Cat Daddy better be understanding one thing. He's out for blood this year. And I tell you what, whoever makes him in the Final Four, he just might end up a young war eagle.
Miss Pat is up next.
Hey, Paul. I'm sorry. That was funny. Now, I can't believe that Larry beat Squirrel. That is beyond me. Who is doing this voting?
I don't know. Larry beat Squirrel, and Larry is leading Squirrel. That will not be announced until Monday. Jim is the biggest story. He got knocked out by Cat Daddy.
Yeah. Well, you know, that doesn't surprise me because he has not made himself very popular lately.
No, or
you know, people love. Well, Paul, people love you, and he is not very nice sometimes. I mean, a lot of the time. And so, anyway, I just wanted to comment on Larry, but thank goodness he's not beating Squirrel yet because I voted for Squirrel. I hope you have a nice weekend.
Thank you very, very much, Miss Pat. Not nice. Jeff is up next. Hello, Jeff. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I'm going to tell you a story. A minute. I'm from Kentucky. I play basketball very well. But me and a friend of mine played 2 girls from a university. They beat the crap out of us.
Why was that?
Do what?
Why was that?
They were just better than we were. Okay. Yes, I don't know.
Well, women's basketball is usually more fundamentally sound than men's basketball. At least it is now.
They outshot us. I'm a big Kentucky fan, so anyway, we'll be back next year.
Jeff, I swear I heard that last year. Chris is up next in Los Angeles. So, hey, Chris, go right ahead.
Hey, how are you doing, Paul?
We are doing great.
Good. Yeah, I watch your show every day, man. I'm originally from Greenville, South Carolina.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not far.
No, it's not about an hour and a half or whatever. But, I mean, I've been out here in Los Angeles since 1979. So, anyway, everybody's calling in about Alabama and Georgia, Tennessee, but I am a Gamecock fan. And I'm guarantee you that this year that the Gamecocks football team will be the SEC champions.
You're guaranteeing me that?
I'm guaranteeing you that.
I realize
it's
Friday afternoon and happy hour may have started already where you live, but explain.
I mean, they got the coaches. I mean, they got the players. They started out, you know, kind of soft beginning of last year, but they came on strong, you know. But everybody's like, I mean, like I said, talking about Georgia and Alabama, everybody forgetting about the Gamecocks. And this year, I'm guaranteeing you that they will be the SEC champions.
Well, Chris, I will not forget this call on the final day of March, we will revisit this in a couple of months. Thank you very much. We head to the break. Been a busy week, but we still have time for a few more phone calls, and we will get to them right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.